Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge, Text 12. Text 12 describes those who in bewilderment disrespect Krishna's form. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views, and that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Comment. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that if one is practicing Astanga Yoga for liberation, or if one is practicing Karmakanda rituals for material well-being, or if one is practicing Jnana Yoga for knowledge and Brahman realization, all his aspirations will be crushed if he misunderstands Krishna's form to be material. No success is awarded to those refusing to accept Krishna's transcendental form. One modern politician wrote a commentary in the Ramayana and said that Lord Ram, by acting as a Kshatriya and fighting to protect Sita Devi, proved the omnipotence of the modes of material nature. How? Because by acting in that way, claimed the author, the Lord revealed that even when God descends into the material world, he becomes controlled by the modes of nature. How foolish! How can God be controlled by his own energies? The hopes, knowledge, and fruitive desires of one who thinks in that way are destroyed by such inappropriate, illogical, and demoniac conclusions. Mayavadis, who say that Brahman affected by the modes of goodness becomes Ishwara, an incarnation, are particularly ruined. What about those who do not accept Krishna as he has revealed himself? Text 13. O son of Prita, what about those who do accept Krishna as he has revealed himself? What about those who do accept Krishna as he has revealed himself? 13. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me, Krishna says, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Comment. Srila Prabhupada describes the undiluted Mahatma who is situated within the divine nature. Quote, the Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma, or a great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-arm Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-arm form of Krishna. What are the activities of such great souls, and how do they serve the Lord? Text 14. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Comment. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, a Mahatma always serves and glorifies Krishna, regardless of time and place. He offers his obeisances and chants a fixed number of rounds with great determination. The word mam is used twice in this verse. The repetition emphasizes that these activities are offered to Krishna and to no one else. That's the end of the quotation. Comment continues. In this section, we have heard about those who worship Krishna and those who do not. Now in text 15, Krishna mentions three types of worshippers who worship him directly, indirectly. Such persons do not realize that it is Krishna whom they are worshiping. 15. Others who engage in sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge worship the Supreme Lord as the one without a second, as diverse in many, and in the universal form. Purport. Comment. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions three levels of Krishna worshippers. One, the Mahatmas. Two, the Sukritinas, mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 7.16. And three kinds of Jnanis who worship the Absolute Truth. It is these Jnanis who are being discussed in this verse. Srila Prabhupada says about them, these are divided into three. One, he who worships himself as one with the Supreme Lord. Two, he who concocts some form of the Supreme Lord and worships that. And three, he who accepts the universal form, the Vishwarupa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and worships that. Out of the above three, the lowest, those who worship themselves as the Supreme Lord, thinking themselves to be monists, are most predominant. The second class includes the worshippers of the demigods, those who, by imagination, consider any form to be the form of the Lord. And the third class includes those who cannot conceive of anything beyond the manifestation of this material universe. They consider the universe to be the supreme organism or entity and worship that. The universe is also a form of the Lord. That's the end of Prabhupada's quote. Comment continues. The first type of jnani mentioned is the one who worships himself as one, ekatvena, with the Supreme. This person is the lowest of the three. Although he is a monist, he is still considered to be performing worship of God because he understands that he is eternal and is not his material body. Those in this category are the most predominant. Above them are the demigod worshippers, who imagine a favorite demigod as the Supreme Lord, Pritaktvena Bahuda. The best of these three is one who, considering the universe as the supreme entity, conceives of the Lord's universal form within the manifest universe, Vishvato Mukham, and worships that. Krishna has already discussed the results gained by the Ekatvena worshippers in verses 11 and 12. In the next four verses, he will explain how to recognize and worship him in his universal form. Further on in this chapter, Krishna will also discuss the results of demigod worship. And we shall end here. And Hare Krishna.